Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 278, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 278.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews, and thereof chapter 13. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willingly to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Almighty and Eternal Lord of heaven and of earth, who art the author of the Holy Scriptures, so that it is thy will revealed unto us, and thou dost say, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. And thou knowest where they are in this day when we may have a measure of liberty. And there are yet those who are in bonds for the sake of thy name over the length and breadth of this world, and we lay them before thee, that thou mayest thyself remember them. Timothy was set at liberty, and thou art able to set them at liberty also, when it is thy own will. But wilt thou bless the bonds, and wilt thou instruct them and us together? For we have here indeed no continuing city, but that we may also seek one to come. We with our children, thou knowest that by nature we are careless, and we go over this world as if that we shall live forever. O man that is in honor and that understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. And we have no understanding, and so thy servant did say, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. When we are going over this world only for our own account, and we have no concern for the greatest needs, and we are tied to all that is in this world, then we ask of thee. Thou who hast risen from the dead, and all power is given into thy hands, especially when thou hast sat down at the right hand of God, that thou mayest also deliver those that are bound in the claws of the prince of darkness. When he as the prince of this world, and as he that hath the power over death, that thou who hast greater power than he, and who hast shown it in thy resurrection, that thou may show it also in this day, that there may be new ones that are raised from the death of spiritual death, that they may be raised unto a new life, and that thou may give that life to burn and to hunger and to thirst and to pant for thee, as the hart panteth for the living waters. O Lord, that thou may thyself give also unto those that have a concern in an outward way in the midst of this world, then we do not know yet whether that it is a true concern, and they know not either, for there was a Christian and a Pliable, and they have both gone out of that city of destruction, and they were speaking of the things of the kingdom of God together. But Lord, thou knowest thine own, and when the trial will come, and when then an Orpah, she will go back again for all the trial that lays before, then there is not an ability to go through it. O Lord, thou dost thyself say that it is through much tribulation that a man will enter into the kingdom of God. And that if he forsake not his father and his mother, his land and his people, then he cannot enter into that kingdom of God. Oh, who is able to count the cost and still to go forward in that way? Then it is alone thy work, O Lord, to draw the heart of a man, and that he may be oblivious to all the way that lies before him, with a need in the heart, and to say, O Lord,
that thou wouldst be my God. O Lord, that thou wouldst so work it in the hearts of both young and old together. And wilt thou look also on thy children, so often they also are in bonds. For they cannot see that way unless thou openest, unless thou revealest it unto them. Then they are as a people who thou dost bring by a way that they knew not, or as a blind people. But thou wilt lead them into all thy truth, and it will be by moments such a surprise when they least expect it, that they may receive in all their wretchedness and in all their need a little token of thy presence, favor, nearness, and blessing. And when thou wilt open thy word for a moment, and then when thou wilt show unto them the eternal riches, that eternal portion, and when thou wilt invite them by the power of thy Holy Spirit to come unto thee, O Lord, that thou thyself may visit thy people, and that thou may give them more instruction and lead them in those steps of that grace that thou alone can lead them in. Then it is not of man that walketh to direct his steps, but because man proposes, but the Lord he disposes. Oh, that thou thyself may lead thy people, and that thou may give them yet some moments of rest here below, that they may receive strength for the journey, and that thou may teach their hands to war and their fingers to fight, in that church militant, that it may not overcome them, the prince of darkness and the world and the heart of sin, that they may be kept from falling, and that thou thyself may keep thy church on every side. Wilt thou look upon young and old in all the needs and cares also of this life, because that life is also given by thee. And thou knowest the needs when we do suffer afflictions and trials in the midst of this world as a consequence of our own sin, that thou may give patience in tribulation, because we do not deserve any different, but that it also may be sanctified and blessed, that it may be as a prod, that it may be as a drawing, and that thou may give the life of thy Spirit within to both young and old together. Care thou for all the sick ones. Also our own granddaughter who must receive surgery in the week to come, that thou may be on her right and on her left. And wilt thou guide the hands of the physicians and bring her through, and that thou may bless it to the welfare of her body, and that thou may look upon all those who have great needs of the body or of the mind, those that have become old and do not have any more an understanding. Wilt thou reach into their hearts this day on thy holy day, and that thou may give also us when we may have yet a mind, and that we may receive also that wisdom, that we may, while we still have our understanding, that we may use it in the seeking and in the searching for thee, that we may not waste it with all that this world has to offer. For there is much knowledge to be gained in this world, but we need that knowledge of thee, O Lord, that thou may remember all those that have suffered losses, especially the losses of dear ones, those that mourn. Wilt thou be on their right and on their left, and be as one that comforteth. Be also with those who have serious diseases. Thou knowest where they are and what they stand in need of, because the fears they are increasing And thou knowest that a man cannot die as he has been born. O Lord, that thou may visit from on high, and may thou bless the afflictions, and wilt thou give that the cry may be heard on high, and that all those that are hungry, thirsty, naked, destitute, those that are without love, those that are suffering family troubles in the midst of this world, wilt thou give them also a cry to thee. And thou who hast the cattle upon 1,000 hills, that thou may feed the hungry and clothe the naked, and that thou thyself may bring thy word to the ends of the world. Remember our curatorium when it hopes to meet in the coming weeks. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may go before us, and could it please thee to give the liberty when some will yet be come up with an attest. O that thou may give that there may be liberty, that another may yet be permitted to enter into our own theological school. For thou knowest that the needs are great, and the labors, they are few. Wilt thou help all thy truly sent servants, increase their number, increase their strength, increase that wisdom, increase also thy grace, that which they may experience for themselves in their own hearts, that they may know thy truth, and that they may be enabled also to speak it in a way of simplicity, that also in this afternoon we may receive help from thee. Lord, strengthen us for our labor, and could it please thee to thyself be present among us, that we may feel it, that we may know it in the preaching, but that we may feel it also in the listening, that thou art near, and that it is not man's word, but that it is thy word, a word that is quick and powerful, a word that thou bringest into the heart, a word that thou usest as a means in thy holy fingers, that thou may grant life unto the souls, that thou may bring in thy church, that thou may feed the hungry, that thou may give liberty to them that are in bonds, and that thou may instruct those that are without knowledge. Help us, O Lord, be among us, and take away and forgive all that is amiss in us, and all that comes forth from us. Wash and cleanse us in that precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear, thy only begotten Son, of whom thou hast said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We ask it in his name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 247 all the stanzas. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. The last collection today is for the Fort McLeod Building Fund, Psalter 247, all the stanzas.
Beloved congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in this portion that was read to you, Hebrews chapter 13, and thereof the 8th verse. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So far, the words of our text, Paul's exclamation concerning the immutability of Jesus Christ. What is that, children? Immutability. Immutable. To be mutable means to change. Mutation is a change. Immutable means doesn't change, never changes. So we could say Paul's exclamation concerning the unchangeableness of Jesus Christ. First, the context of this exclamation. We must always speak of the context, because that is in the first place going to show to us something of the meaning, although this word of God that has a much broader meaning can be broadened out into the entire context of that word of God. But then we need much more than an hour. Thus, the context of this exclamation. Second, the truth of this exclamation. And last, the comfort of this exclamation. Paul's exclamation concerning the immutability, the unchangeableness of Jesus Christ. First, the context. Second, the truth. And third, the comfort of this exclamation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Who says it? The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit of the Lord. To whom does he say it? He says it unto the Hebrews. We have heard that it was a letter that he has written unto the Hebrews, he says, in a few words. That is, the Hebrews, they are the church of God that was living in Jerusalem. And what does he say in this letter? In that entire letter of the Hebrews, then he is speaking about Jesus Christ. You heard a little bit about that. We don't need to repeat all that. What we have heard in this morning hour, he speaks about his anointing, that name of Christ that is the anointed Jesus. The anointed Savior. Is that not a wonder that there is a Savior? But he is not only a self-proclaimed Savior, as many Christs have come into this world, but he is the anointed Savior by God himself. Thus, that is a testimony against us. If that we do not see, if we do not feel any need in our heart, in our life for a Savior, then that name Jesus Christ that is testifying against us every day and especially every time that we may read his word, that we may hear it preached, that the Lord, he has anointed a Savior. And we do not need him. He is, the Apostle Paul says to the Hebrews, he is the Son of God. He speaks about his divinity. And then he speaks about his offices. He says he is greater, because the Hebrews, children, you understand, they did not need to be convinced of the authority of the Old Testament. They believed in the Bible. Then He says that Jesus Christ, He is greater than all the teachers, all the prophets that have come before in the Old Testament. He speaks about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And He shows, He proves how that the priesthood of Christ is greater than the entire priesthood, that Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament. He speaks about the kingship of Christ, and thus the three offices. And then He does not only speak in an objective way. That is the difficulty so often today, young people. Then we can speak about the Lord Jesus Christ and His offices. But, and Paul also speaks about faith. Then He speaks about that hand by which all these spiritual blessings may be received in the heart of a man. Not enough just that He is the Savior. He must also be my Savior. He must also be your Savior. And at the end, then the Apostle Paul gives certain admonitions, certain exhortations to the Hebrews. And that is now where our text is lying. What does he say? He says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Then he does not speak about those who actually have the rule of them at the moment, but he is speaking about those who have gone before. That is, their former teachers, their former instructors, actually their former ministers, those who have brought unto them that word of God, that have spoken it to them, that have preached it unto them. He says, remember them. Why? Because we so easy forget. We do that to boys and girls. We so easy forget. We are in church. Then we go home. Then we are thinking about what we are going to do tomorrow, this week. And we have forgotten all about what we heard in church. And now the Apostle Paul, because that is now the nature of a man, that he so quickly forgets. You know, the children of Israel, they also forgot so quick. Moses, he went a few days into the mountain. And then, what does the Lord say to Moses? They have quickly turned away from my commandments, from my instructions. They have come through you. And thus Paul, he admonishes them and he says, remember them who have gone before and who have spoken that word of God unto you. And not only so, but he says, whose faith follow. He says, considering the end of their conversation, the conversation that is not just their speaking. We sometimes use it just for our literal conversation, but in the Bible, that word is sometimes used for their entire life. What was their life? And considering their life. Now that life that may have been a life of trial, that may have been a life of tribulation, that may have been a life that the world would not envy. Say, I do not want the life of that man. But he says, considering the end of their life. Considering the end of their conversation. He says, where are they now? They had no easy way in this life. But do you not see now where that the end of that life, where that the end of that faith has led that people? Thus he says, remember them whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And therefore he says, be not carried away, carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Indeed, that is a very great danger that Paul is warning the Hebrews about strange doctrines, because when with the loss of their old teachers, then it is very easy by times that there is a new doctrine, and that new doctrine that is taking hold in the heart of that people, that he says that they are enamored with it, that they are carried about with this. Diverse doctrines, that means a doctrine that is diverse, that is not the same, that goes in a different direction. He says, a strange doctrine. Does it ever concern you, congregation? Does it ever concern you, fathers and mothers? Does it ever concern you, young people? Diverse doctrines? Strange doctrines? Does it ever concern you that perhaps our young people, our youth, they will one day be led away with a doctrine that has taken a different direction than that holy word of God? That ought to concern us. That ought to concern us very, very deeply. Why? Because truth that does not remain among a people without a struggle, without holding on to that truth. Satan is busy, and we also must be busy. When Satan is trying to lead not only our youth, but every heart of man. Sometimes you see it in an old man. Sometimes then you see they have been under that doctrine, under that truth their whole life, till they are 80, 85, 90 years old. And at the end of their life, you say they have been brought up under it all their life. And at the end of their life, then you see they are going away. Then they are going for a strange doctrine. You say, now how can that be? How can that possibly be that man or that woman? There is not one of us that it does not lie in our heart that we would be carried away with such a strange doctrine. You see, that is the work of the minister. That is the work of the elders, the consistory. They are the ones that need to be concerned to hold on to the truth. Wait a moment. Because what is Paul speaking about? He's speaking about their former leaders. He's speaking about those that are gone. Or what will happen, congregation, when your leaders are gone? When your minister is gone? And when your elders are gone? When someone else needs to come in and to take that place? To stand and to teach that truth. Who will that be, young people? Who will that be? Are you concerned to know that truth for yourself? Do you know how quickly that life is going by? Then your teachers, they are not always going to be standing before you. In the midst of these admonitions to remain with the truth, Paul, he breaks out. He breaks out here into a blessed exclamation. He says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is now the context. It is in the midst of these exclamations It is in the midst of the concern of the Apostle Paul for this congregation. It is in the midst of the discouragements of God's own people. When there is a tendency to be carried away with those strange doctrines. And when God's children, they are mourning. When David, he says, I am like a pelican in the wilderness. I am like an owl in the desert. I watch, and I am like a sparrow alone upon the housetops. And when there, God's children are mourning. And then there are those who are pressing for a different way. That Paul makes this exclamation. He says, in the middle of all of this, he breaks out. He says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Why does he say this? That is our second thought. The truth of this exclamation. Why does he say it? He says it because he is putting something behind. He is putting something underneath his exhortation. He will convince the people that what he has to say has good grounds. It is not just on his own whim that he says, you must follow what I have said. You must follow what others have said. No, he says, there is a good reason. This has a good ground. This has a good foundation. That you would not be carried away from this way that you have been taught. That doctrine he has learned himself. He says it himself. He says, I was not taught it by men. He says, I was taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He appeared to him from heaven. Did not know that way. He's a Pharisee. And then he was taught from heaven. And he was given instruction. He was taught doctrines, he says. And those doctrines, they lay, he says, on an immovable and an unchangeable foundation. It is the doctrine of Jesus Christ himself. He says, he is immutable. He is unchangeable. And therefore, that doctrine which is founded, that doctrine which is grounded upon him, that is also a doctrine which will never change. No, not world without end. Just because a doctrine is old does not mean that a doctrine is true. Right, young people? Old does not make it true automatically. Plaguing doctrine is old, very old now. It's not true. Arminian doctrine is now old. It's not true. No, but a doctrine which is based, a doctrine which is founded on Christ himself, on the truth of Christ himself, that is now a doctrine that is true, that is unchangeable. Is that not a wonder that there is anything that is unchangeable in this world? Is it not a wonder that there is anything in this world that is immovable? Because we live in a world that is changing, changing, changing. It changes faster and faster. The quicker that we go to the end of this world, the faster that those changes, they are being made in this world. In our country, then we see changes that we have never seen before in this world. And we see that the very foundations of the truth, they are being undermined. They are being attacked. The foundations, the Word of God says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? We experience that, do we not? Ourselves, in the midst of the difficulties, the school, so on. And then you see, where can your arguments come from? because the very foundations are destroyed. Man does not even accept anymore the things which our ancestors, they have accepted. Paul, he declares the truth of Jesus Christ. He says, that is now a truth that has never changed. And it is a truth that is as true today as it ever was. It is a truth, it is a doctrine that will be true even to the end of this world. Indeed, it is a truth that was opposed. It was opposed as being false. Pharisees, when the Lord Jesus said that God was his Father, they said, whom makest thou thyself? He said, that is not true. Thou art not yet 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham? The Jews, what have they done? With all that he has spoken, then they have crucified him. And then they have mocked him. They said, if thou be the Son of God, if that is now the truth, come down from the cross, and then we will believe thee. But what does Paul say? He says that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Thus, that resurrection from the dead had everything to do with the testimony of the truth of the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. How could any nation, how could any people have dealt in more severity with one of their citizens, with one of their people, than they have dealt with Christ? When they have, after all the natural good even that he has done, if they would be irrespective even of his words, but when they had seen all the works, for which of these works, he says, do you stone me? Irrespective of all his gracious words, when they would never have believed him, what nation had done such a thing to such a man as Christ has been for his people, as the Jews have done unto him? And now there is no evidence that is greater evidence than Christ has given against the power of the Jewish people, against the power of the Roman government, against the power of the devil himself, not only his instruments, but against the power of Satan himself to bring Christ and his kingdom to nothing. There is no power that has ever been greater than the power that Christ has shown in the resurrection from the dead. What power is now greater than the power of death? What does the Bible say? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither has he any discharge in that war. Cannot prevent it. And much less prevent it, can you restore a life which has been taken away from you, when you are already dead. But it was not taken away from him. We read he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And now there is no testimony in all the world greater than this testimony of the sonship of Jesus Christ, the divinity of Jesus Christ, than his resurrection from the dead. What did the Jews read into his crucifixion? What did they read into his death? What did they say that death and that crucifixion, well, that must mean? Well, that must mean that he is an imposter. It must mean that everything that he has said, everything that he has spoken while he was here upon this world, every testimony that was coming out of his lips and out of the lips of others, that was all false. Because now he is crucified. Now he is hanging upon that tree. They even said it to him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, because he said that he was the Son of God. See? It's all wrong. Now, it was not only that Jewish people that have read this into the crucifixion of Christ, but it was also the church. It was also God's true people. What did they say? We thought it was he that would have redeemed Israel. That's what we thought. But obviously, we were wrong. And now the resurrection of Christ. What was that? Oh, that was the unmistakable evidence that everything that he has testified concerning himself and concerning that kingdom of God is really true. The world could mock. God's people could fear. But Paul, he says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh, in that resurrection, then there is a testimony that every word that was spoken in that Old Testament time concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that was true, was always true. But in the resurrection of Christ, there was a testimony unto that Jewish people and now unto us and unto all the world of the truth of all that lay in that Old Testament. Every word that Christ has spoken that was doubted, that was mocked by the Pharisees, by the scribes. Oh, now they cannot mock anymore. They will try to do it, but they cannot mock anymore. Pilate, he wrote, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Pharisees do not write that. Right? He said he was the King of the Jews. No, he says. But I've written. Why? Because Pilate did not want to change it. Because God would not have it changed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Pilate had said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Thou sayest that I am a king. He can mock, and the people can mock. But all that mocking, and God's children are mourning, that is going to stop. And God's children, they are going to rejoice, because he is going to prove himself to be a king. That even the strongest thing we have in this world, what is that? Death. The strongest thing we have in this world, what we are most afraid of, what we have no power over, no man, rich as he is, he will give all his riches, billions, trillions of dollars if he has them. No power against it. And here is the power. Proving that he is true. Proving that he is the same. And proving that his doctrine is true. And as he was, so he is. And as he is, so he shall be. Forever and forever. That is now the comfort of that true church. But we want to sing first. 273 stanzas 1 and 5 through 7. Thou, O Jehovah, shalt endure. Thy throne forever is the same, and to all generations sure shall be thy great memorial name. 1, 5, 6, and 7 of Psalter 273.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We say in our last thought, the great comfort of the true Church of God. And why? Because their entire salvation that is depending on this immutability of Jesus Christ. Why? Is that because that change itself is so dangerous and creating so much anxiety in our heart because change we are somewhat afraid of? We do not know what to expect when things are changing. Change is sometimes also so threatening to man, to his welfare, to his health, to his very life. Is that why? Is it because that the world that is changing so quickly? Is it because the visible church that is changing? No, it is because God's children themselves, they find so much change within themselves. If we think about Solomon, then we see him in his youth, and that is so beautiful. We see him when his father is passed away, and that kingdom that is laid on his shoulders, and that the Lord is appearing to him, and then we hear that so simple, and that so humble, that's such an honest question. Then he says, Lord, I am but a child. I do not know how to go in. I do not know how to go out. Oh, give me, Lord, an understanding heart. Is that not beautiful? And the love that was in his heart. And then he set out to build that beautiful house of the Lord. And then there was nothing that was too much for him. And then, later, what do we read? We read that Solomon, he had 700 wives, 300 concubines. We read that his wives, they turned away his heart, so that he actually went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, the goddess of the Amorites. He turned away his heart. What do you think, young people? Do you think a friend, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, they could turn away your heart? Say, I am strong. I have a knowledge of the truth. I've been brought up in it. Will never leave it. Is that so? How do you think that was? You think you are stronger than Solomon? A God-fearing man? When you date young people, you do not date to do mission work. We call that mission dating. And then it is said, well, I will bring him into the church. I will bring her into the church. You want to do mission work with your dating. But that is not right. You say, well, do you despise the people of this world? Of course not. Would God all of Fort McLeod and all of Alberta were brought under the truth. But when you will marry someone, then they first must be a member of the church. That has to come first. Because the word of God that says that we may not be unequally yoked, and then you cannot place your whole life and such a vow all on the limb. But when they have a desire, and when they are coming, and when they are making that same confession, oh, then indeed, oh, do not think you are so strong. Solomon, what a change. You would think, is that the same man as when he was young? So changeable. Then we read about his father, how beautiful that was, his father, when he was young. When he was on the fields of Bethlehem. And there that humble occupation and faith in his heart. Faith in his heart when he was young, children, when he was young. He did not kill that lion and that bear outside of faith. He says it later. He says, the Lord who delivered me from that lion, and the Lord who delivered me from that bear. And later, evil eye, adultery, even murder, pride. Say, is that the same man? As we have seen in the days of his youth. Oh, what lives in our heart? The longer God's children live, the longer that they find out what they are actually capable of. And then how was it for David? How was it for him when Nathan came? And when the Lord came, when the Lord said to him, thou art the man, then how was it for him? We can know how it was. We can know how it was in his heart. Because we can read that in Psalm 51. And then you know what he says? He says, O Lord, take not away thy presence, thy Holy Spirit from me. And he says, cast me not away from thy presence. He was afraid of that. He was afraid of that. Why? He deserved it. He felt it. He deserved it. And he feared it. No more Spirit of the Lord. And no more presence of the Lord. How often is that now not the fear of that true church of God? That the Lord, after what they may have felt and experienced in their life, that the Lord will now withdraw. Because of what I have done, because of the way I live, because of my heart, because of the carnality, because of the sin. O Lord, cast me not away from thy presence. What do you think, children? Do you think that is possible? David is cast away from the presence of the Lord? It's not possible. Why is it not possible? It is not possible because of what Paul says here. He says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. What does Paul now say to the Hebrews? He says, be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats. What is he speaking about? He's speaking about to that Hebrew church. And there was a people that they were established with meats. We would say with the works of that ceremonial law. They were established, that law was, by the Lord himself in that time, looking forward to that coming of Christ. But that people, they are just like us. They are often ending in those things which are carnal. And now that is also the same today. That church that is so often looking to that carnal part, to the fulfilling of the duties. But that is now the doctrine that the Lord says it belongs to a broken covenant. It is no longer recognized by the Lord. No, it has become to the Lord, and Paul calls it here, a diverse doctrine. He calls it a strange doctrine. And he says, it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, because that is now the doctrine of Jesus Christ. He says, that is now the doctrine that is standing immovably firm in that Son of God, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. There are people, they know something about that doctrine. They are not complete strangers of that doctrine of grace. Hope that was born in their heart when they were sitting, as it were, with that prodigal in that swine pit. You know that story, right, children? The prodigal son wasted all his substance with riotous living. Where did it bring him? Brought him in the swine pit. So what did that man deserve? He knew what he deserved. Because he said it in his heart. He says, I will go, he says, and I will say to my father that I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. And yet he said, I will arise. How is that? He said, I will arise and I will go to my father. And I will tell my father that I am not worthy. And I will ask my father just for a little blessing. Not the high things. I will ask him if I can just be a servant. What was his hope? What was his hope? That hope was a hope of mercy from his father when he did not deserve it. What is that called? You know that, children? It is called grace. Mercy to an undeserving man. That is grace. And there are people who have been sitting in that swine pit, to whom the Lord has shown something, revealed something of that Jesus Christ, that anointed Savior, when they were sitting in that swine pit, in their own misery because of their own fault, in their unworthiness, and it has brought in their heart a hope. Who can tell? Who can tell? Even though I do not deserve it, maybe yet there is a people. They're not strangers of that. They do not have it yet. Still sitting in that swine pit. But when the Lord shows us this, oh, then that Savior, though he is not yet mine, I've seen him. That is the way. That is the truth. That is the life. And he is precious now to my soul. He is the one I need. Because in him I can be delivered. In him I can be brought back unto my Father. But the people, they are not yet, as we read here, established. That is what Paul says. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. And that the people do not yet have. Think about that prodigal children, when he would rise up now. Do you know what he still has not experienced? He does not yet have a kiss from his father. He does not yet have a robe from his father. He did not yet receive the embrace of his father, the shoes on his feet, the ring on his finger. He has not yet tasted of that fatted calf. And when he rises up out of that swine pit, then that man, he is like the waves of the sea. Then there are moments that man, he is looking to that mercy and to that grace of his Father. And then he looks down and he looks at his own clothing, and everything is testifying of his unworthiness. Then he has fears in his heart. Fears. Maybe my father will cast me away from his presence. Maybe he will say no. Maybe I will not be accepted. That is now a people, Paul says, that they are not yet established with grace. And with every sin, with every shortcoming, and with every fall, there is fear. Fear that still, with everything that I have experienced of the love of the Lord, the drawing of my heart, that knowledge of sin, everything that I have experienced, that still, I will not be accepted. It is a good thing that a man, that the heart be established with grace. What does Paul say? He says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Forever. Do you despair, congregation of life? young people, we have that question for you. When you're reading the Bible, when you go to bed at night, or when you get up in the morning, you ever read that Bible? You ever say in your heart, oh, that blessed, blessed people of the Lord. Do you ever despair in your heart? You know what we read in the Bible? The Lord Jesus, he came to the grave of Lazarus. He spoke only a few words. Lazarus, come forth. And he arose and he came forth. I have a question for you this afternoon. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever? Fathers and mothers, where are your children? Where are they? Many of you, they are still young. They are sitting with you in the bench. And then for others of you, they're no longer here. Say if they were in Picture Butte in church, in Lethbridge in church, that would be one thing. But they are here in the world. They are under this diverse doctrine. They are under that strange doctrine. You know, read in the Bible, the Lord Jesus once, he came to that widow of Nain, that man was laying dead. And you know what we read of him? Touched the bier. Touched it. And he spoke. That young man, he said, we have a question for you, fathers and mothers. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Are you, congregation? You know, we read in the Bible, we read of 10 lepers, and one of them was even a Samaritan. Samaritan. What does that mean? No dealings with the Jews. He was an outsider. These were lepers. They were condemned to die. They were filthy from the head, crown of the head to the sole of the feet. They were not allowed to come in the presence of other people. What do we read of them? We read that they lifted up their voice and they began to cry. Even that man who was a Samaritan, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Oh, do you believe, congregation, that Jesus Christ, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever? But if we despise that free and sovereign grace, as it was done then he will also prove to be to us the same. If we never become a publican and a sinner in our life, then all our supposed coming is coming in a wrong way. And then we will experience in our life that He is the same. And then He will say to us, go. You have something yet to learn. Go and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, O congregation, that we would not remain strangers to this doctrine. That doctrine, that immovable, that immutable, that unchangeable doctrine of Jesus Christ, free, sovereign grace. You may be sure will never change, has never changed, not from the beginning to this day, will never change even unto the end. That is what He says. All that the Father giveth me, they shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you not come then? Will you not come then? Say, with what? With all the guilt, with all the pollution, with all that sin, with all that worldliness, with all the corruption, with everything that lives in your heart, with everything that is wrong, and lay it there. Lay it there at His feet. Who can tell? Who can tell? There was a woman. They brought her to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had all kinds of accusations against her, and they were true. Taken in adultery in the very act. Wicked woman. He said she should be condemned, and they were right. Is that what it says in your heart too? That you should be condemned? And when you may come there, what did he say? That was to her surprise. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. There was another woman. Issue of blood. She didn't even belong in that company. Polluted woman. She could not stay away. Because of the hope that she had in him. Didn't have him yet, but could I only touch that hem of his garment? She had to come. And she may come. And there she may experience him, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give hope to those who are despondent, who do not know the way, because thou art the way. Thou art the truth and thou art the life, and thou art ever the same yesterday and today and forever. O, give a people that may open thy word, that may turn to it before thee and say, Lord, it is thy word. It is thy own word. This is what thou hast done. This is what I need. Oh, that thou may give place in our hearts for thy word, both young and old, also to the children, because we all need the same thing. Do forgive and take away all of our many sins and be with us in the rest of this day. Give us a desire in our heart to search thy holy scriptures, because they are they which speak of thee, and in them is to be found eternal life. Wilt thou be with us in the week to come, each one in our place in this world, also when we will meet as a consistory. Wilt thou watch over and protect us, and wilt thou give us wisdom. Care thou for our flock, thou that great shepherd of thy sheep who has risen from the dead, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We wish to sing, congregation, two psalters. They are both from the same song. And it is a continuation of the same psalm from 290 to 291. So we would like to sing six verses all together. 290, 1, 4, and 8. And then 291, 1, 9, and 12. Thus, 290, praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. 290, 1, 4, and 8, and 291, 1, 9, and 12.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.